Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Presented here is a free teaser for this month's edition of the Top Rope Nation Classics Patreon bonus podcast. Every single month, we release a deep dive on a classic wrestling event as voted on by our supporters on Patreon. It's a true historical deep dive. The only place to hear these shows in full? Join the Patreon page for just $5 per month. The link is right here in the podcast description. Patreon is the best way to support the show. So click that link in the episode description and read all about it. It's patreon.com/toprope nation and enjoy this special free preview. Yes, what's going on, patrons? It is episode 39 of Top Rope Nation Classics, the 39th time we have done this. It's Ryan Drosty, it's Justin Joint, and Kyle Ross. Justin, you're getting a phone call already.
I know. Hey,
they know we're on the air.
I tried to put the phone way far away, too, damn it.
It's the 39th edition of Top Rope Nation Classics. We're going back to 1991 WCW. I was thinking about this. Is this the earliest WCW show we have done? No, we did Chi-Town Rumble, no. Right? 89.
I thought we did earlier, too. Maybe not.
We did Chi-Town Rumble 89, Super Bowl 2, obviously, so 92. We've done, like, Memphis Wrestling from way back. Man, we've done so many of these now. They're all kind of, I got to think about it.
I don't think we've done anything in 1990. Although, no. You know, as much as we're going to do a great job on this, got to tell the listeners, I was a little disappointed that we didn't get Russell War 90 for this year because I was thinking,
yeah,
like the Flair Luger situation and what to or to not put the title on Luger. I thought it would have been so great vis-a-vis the recent Roman and Sammy situation that we're talking about in 2023 with WWE. I thought it would have been a kind of interesting compare contrast, but alas, Russell War 91. At the time, one of the great reviewed shows.
Yes.
In the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Justin and I were talking about this over the weekend. And I know we've talked about this War Games match before. And I don't remember, what was it during the Flair draft? Is that when it would have been? Because I know for sure I have went back and revisited it for the pod at one point in time. So I know we've talked about that. It'll be fun to revisit that. Like you said, we've never done a 91 WCW show for sure. We've done SummerSlam 91, I think was the first edition of Classics we ever did. So we've done this year before.
We did this Tuesday in Texas.
That's right. I think the earliest World Class 83, Thanksgiving Star Wars, Memphis with Derek Chappelle, and Chi-Town Rumble 89.
Well, we did Main Event 88 too for WWE. Oh, yeah. And we've done WrestleMania 3. We did Saturday Night's Main Event. I was thinking
non WWF though.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Like non WWF.
Didn't we do? I thought we did like a Clash or a Great American Bash with Flair and Funk. Maybe we didn't cover the entire show.
Did we do Great American Bash 89 from start to finish?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Okay. Maybe, you know what? We probably just talked about it in the Flair draft. Everybody go listen to the Flair draft.
just listen to the Flair draft. You'll get a lot of that. Yeah, no, I'm literally scrolling through all these classic shows now, and it takes a while to do it now. So I'm not.
We never did Great American Bash 89?
No, we talked. We did the show with Liam O'Rourke. We talked about all the Great American Bash.
No, that was
not Liam O'Rourke. It was Graham Coffin.
Yeah, that's right.
Liam did the SummerSlam draft with us. So yeah, that's right. Guys, it's like we've done hundreds of podcasts and it's hard to keep them straight. Who knew?
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for all your support, patrons, and nominating this one and voting and making this the winner. And I know you guys, like we've talked about this on the show before, we're big fans of WCW kind of in the early 90s era, watching it live. At least Justin was, for sure. I had to go back and revisit a lot of this stuff. Kyle, I mean, where was your wrestling fandom in early 1991?
Pretty strong, I would say. You know, talked a lot about WWF, certainly, in school. So I would have been, this would have been fifth grade, I would have said, when this show happened. And I had just started watching WCW in late 1990, around Halloween Havoc time. So I was aware of kind of what was going on in real time. Certainly didn't order this show. In retrospect, benefit of hindsight, if you will, this was a weird time in WCW, was it not? This is the first year, 1991, where WCW was WCW. They had stopped using the NWA name in 1990. Dusty Rhodes had just come back to book. He was a color commentator on this show as well, fresh off his run in WWF, which had just ended at the Royal Rumble. They'd gone back to Flair as the World Heavyweight Champion after Sting did not make the sky blue forever and the sunshine forever as World Heavyweight Champion. That was in January. But Flair's only a few months from bolting and leaving the promotion in tatters, is he not? So, it's just a weird period, this early part of 91. And this undercard that we're going to get to, it really feels like we've got a lot of new guys to push, but no one legitimate to put them over. It was almost, dare I say, Clash-like.
Mm-hmm.
Undercard. Outside of the War Games, well, there's some good stuff, and we'll get into it. Some just wild, kind of off-the-wall stuff that shines. Nothing felt pay-per-view worthy. This is like, to me, the kind of lineup you get when you bring a new booker in and he's just kind of trying to move a lot of pieces around.
Yeah. Justin, 1991. Were you getting the show at your dad's with that famous satellite that you've talked about before?
Not yet. That didn't come in until fall of 91. So I had not really started watching WCW yet, but I was starting to learn about it from just random pro wrestling books I'd find. So I knew a lot of the major players, maybe small storylines. Like I knew about Sting winning the World Championship at Great American Bash in 90. But for the most part, I was super into WWF at this time.
Before we get to the show itself, kind of an interesting side note here is that there was kind of a mini war that weekend in Arizona between the WWF and WCW. Mm-hmm. So the night before Wrestle War, WWF ran Tempe, which is just, it's like right next to Phoenix.
I looked it up.
Twin Cities.
I looked it up. The drive between the two venues is 18 minutes.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's like Minneapolis, St. Paul, basically. I mean, like Twin Cities. And so the WWF had this house show at the ASU Activity Center. They had, 4,800 paid for a live gate of $60,000. The main event of that show was Sergeant Slaughter against the Ultimate Warrior in a non-title steel cage match. Also had in the semi-main, Jake Roberts and Rick Martel. Who else was on that show? Mr. Perfect and Roddy Piper. The Hart Foundation against Paul Roma and Hercules.
Power and Glory. It's a good card.
Davey Boy was on that show against the Warlord, Barbarian and Coco Beware, Snuka and Haku, Bushwhackers, Orient Express. Yeah, that's the whole card right there. So the interesting thing about this is that Wrestle War did 6,800 in the building. The WWF house show did 6,000, but the WWF house show had 4,800 paid. The WCW pay-per-view had 4,300 paid. So WWF actually outdrew them with the house show as far as paid attendance goes. The WCW live gate for Wrestle War was $53,000. And the WWF house show in Tempe did $60,000 for a live gate. So we had WWF actually outdrew them with the house show.
Can you imagine if, like, we were reading in the Observer next week, a WWE or AEW house show did $63,000, like $50,000? Yeah. Seems rather paltry.
Cheap tickets, man, in that era. Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of interesting that they were there the same weekend, one day apart.
And that was something they would do, WWF. I don't want to say, like, all the time, but the famous one was the night before Wrestle War 89 in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Like, WWF, like, they would run the house show real late. They would keep the goal was to, like, burn the people out or something, that they were, like, too tired and might sleep in and miss the WCW pay-per-view the next day. I don't know what it was, but yeah, they always tried to, like, burn the crowd out the next night before. So yeah. It's not like a WrestleMania weekend where it's like they were keeping them from the show. I don't know how effective was that. I mean, did, like, anyone, like, not make it that was attending the? I want to hear that.
I'm sure a few people did, but, like, not measurably.
Yeah, like, that couldn't be. Like, was somebody like, man, yeah, I just can't make the show tomorrow, man. That was too much WWF action.
Too many WWF superstars for my blood.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone was in the Phoenix area in 1991 that happened to you, please contact this podcast. It's time for Wrestle War.
All right, so Phoenix, Arizona, the Arizona Veterans Memorial Coliseum. This was the home of the Phoenix Suns from 1968 until 1992. So at this point in time, still the home of the Suns. You will notice right from the start, lots of empty seats. As I said, 6,800 fans were there. It was set up for 13,000. So it's roughly half full. Not good. But you know what? More people should have came out because... yeah, this main event is legendary. The undercard we're going to get into here first. But pay-per-view buys, according to WrestleNomics, 160,000 pay-per-view buys for Wrestle War 91. They're
biggest of the entire year, I believe.
Yeah, I like in that era, they were all like pretty close, but I think you're right. I think this was the highest for sure. So, yeah, I mean, until Hogan comes over, they're always kind of within this kind of 100 to 170 ish, you know, area. So, Tony Schiavone welcomes us and he throws it over to Jim Ross and Dusty Rhodes. And we go to the WCW six man titles match to open things up. Yeah.
Real quick, I just want to point out you guys saw who was on the dark match, right?
Eddie, mm-hmm. Right?
Eddie Guerrero was in the dark match, which I'm surprised considering, like, you know, we're about to go through the undercard and how there is a handful of just seemingly randos in these matches. You know, Phoenix has a pretty large Hispanic population. Why not put Eddie on the main card?
So what did Dave say in the Observer that they on radio and TV were hyping, quote, a lucha libre match? And Dave's like, I can't imagine that. Just hyping a generic lucha libre match brought in many additional buys.
That's almost, but you're right. I said word for word. Yeah. It was, they went 7 minutes and 40 seconds, 2¾ stars. Dave was in the building, by the way. So his review in the Observer is, and so was Wade Keller. I went back just like you, Kyle, and I read the Torch as well. And they're given the live perspective and their grades from attending live. So
I thought the Observer, poll was a little too generous on this. I didn't think this was like a 97% thumbs up.
97.3% thumbs up, 2.7% down, no in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. But like at the time they said it was like the only two shows that it did better in the feedback was like the 289, like the 89 clash with Flair and Funk. Mm-hmm. And I think like Wrestle War 89, which is pretty crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
I think this one best major show in the Observer for 91.
Pretty heavily praised at the time. I saw that in both newsletters. Yeah, the opening match of the pay-per-view proper is for the WCW six-man titles, and it's, as Dave calls them, the junk food dog, JYD, Ricky Morton, Tommy Rich, taking on State Patrol and Big Cat. And it's JYD, Morton, and Rich are the six-man champions. There are no six-man title belts. Dave writes in The Observer, okay, I recognize the problem in that nobody takes the six-man belt seriously, and not having any belts doesn't help, considering the champs are guys languishing in Never Never Land, and the heel side consists of a guy who was pushed and didn't get over, and as of late has disappeared from television, and two jobbers, and this was billed as a title match. For titles to mean something and title matches to mean something, they should be limited to matches where the marks can at least take the champs, the belts, and the challengers seriously, end quote.
And for the record, there are actual physical six-man world title belts. Where they are in this moment, I have no idea. I tried to find it and came up empty-handed. Because I know, you know, they're transitioning, like Kyle pointed out at the beginning of the pod, from NWA to WCW, which is, you know, a big storyline point later on with the U.S. title.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.